Stand up for a second and put your feet together. Now look down. That's approximately 1 square foot. That space means almost $2,800 of retail sales a year at Ball Harbor Shops in Bal Harbor. A square foot is an important metric in retail. It's how you measure the size of stores, but it's also how you compare how much a store sells at one location compared to another location. So at almost $2,800 of sales per square foot, Bal Harbor is credited as the most productive shopping center in the world. The average for a shopping center is closer to $450 per square foot. Matthew Whitman Lazenby is the operating partner and the third generation to run the place. Matthew, Bal Harbor Shops is seen as a real beacon of high-end retailing. How did it get to that place, and where is it going?
The vision was instantaneous in the sense that my grandfather in the 60s always knew what he wanted. The execution of that vision did not happen overnight. That's been a 50-year work in progress. We opened in 65, so we're approaching our 50-year anniversary here pretty shortly. I think the differentiating factor for us, and really for all destinations that from the get-go desire to be luxury-driven, is a realization of and then a dependence upon tourists. We have an affluent local customer that's very important to us, that's very loyal to us. We hope to be very loyal to him and her in return, but this shopping center depends upon its tourist base.
What is that revenue mix that comes from local shoppers compared to those who are visiting?
So had you asked me that question 2 years ago, prior to the most recent market survey that we conducted, I probably would have told you somewhere between 50 and 60% is what we sort of anecdotally imagine. In most shopping centers, when you can brag about double-digit tourism, 10%, 15%, that's a big deal. So 50 to 60% is practically unheard of, maybe Las Vegas, Hawaii, maybe some destinations like that. But our market studies actually show us that between 70 and 80% of our customer is a market visitor, which means that they're not coming from the primary trade area. So that could be seasonal residents. That could be people that are coming from Boca Raton or places that aren't sort of home base for us.
How does that change your approach to retailing for your tenants?
When you're targeting a more static local consumer whose tastes evolve and you know whose wants do change, they don't change as erratically as a customer base that's coming from all over the world, right? So you do have to try to be in tune not just with sort of local trends, but more global trends, because your customer is very much a global customer. So from a merchandising perspective, you kind of have to have a very much global awareness of what people want. And the way we have tended to do that over the years is that most of our stores are imported from retail markets throughout the world that we deem to be comparable or frankly that we aspire to. So locations like Fifth Avenue and Madison Avenue in New York, Rodeo Drive, to a lesser extent, the Boston and Chicago and Las Vegas markets. And increasingly now that Miami has become a true gateway city, we're making more and more trips to Paris and Milan and London, et cetera.
The hallways of Bal Harbor Shops are filled with those global, high-end, luxury good retailers, the companies that you see in the pages of French Vogue and these really high-end places. How do you attract them here, and what's the value proposition that this little shopping mall in Dade County presents to them?
This is a shopping mall in the sense that it's owned by one entity. In this case, it's a family. But I will tell you that the vast majority of our tenants consider that to be a four-letter word. They do not consider Bal Harbor Shops to be a mall. Many of the highest-end brands still won't really go into malls. Some of them will. Some of them have, as the old sort of haute couture houses have been consolidated into conglomerates that are owned by even larger companies. Some of that resistance has gone away, and it's been fueled more and more by growth. But still, the brands don't consider this to be a mall. And that has served to benefit us, frankly, because usually in this country, New York remains the proving grounds, right? That's where those folks that are coming from Europe and South America want to establish their brands first. And frankly, as the saying goes, if you can make it there, you really can make it anywhere, because those rents are so prohibitive that you really have to know what you're doing. So for us, when stores succeed in New York City, and when we feel like there is the likelihood that they'll be as successful for our market here, we feel very confident leasing to that particular store because it's already sort of jumped over that significant obstacle.
Bal Harbour Shops generates the highest revenue per square foot of any shopping center across the globe. What's that message that it sends to the broader community of the locals that work here, that depend upon the stores and the owner for their livelihood?
Because this is a barely a 16-acre site, we have jammed a lot of productivity onto a very small parcel. So the village of Bal Harbour is tiny. It's about a square mile. And so Bal Harbour Shops is very much a regional destination. Frankly, it's an international destination. The community definitely benefits from the success of the shopping center through things like resort taxes and impact fees and other things. The local government benefits, of course. The county and the state then benefit even further from sales taxes and things like that. And in fact, we are planning an expansion of the shopping center. So as I said, we're about 450,000 square feet today. Going forward, we intend to add around 230,000 square feet to that. So that will even further broaden that impact.
That's about a 50% increase in square footage from what this destination has traditionally had.
It is.
Obviously a very bullish, very optimistic plan that you have for the market to be able to absorb that.
It is indeed. 50% growth is not something to sneeze at. But still, for a 450,000 square foot shopping center, that still puts us between 600,000 and 700,000 square feet. So we'll still be intimate in terms of other shopping centers in the area with which you might be familiar that are well over a million square feet. And that's important to us because I think that intimate ambiance is meaningful to our customer. In terms of meeting market demand, there are multiple factors at play there. Firstly, because our existing tenants are so successful, it's hard to find one that doesn't want to be bigger and a lot bigger. So we really easily could fill up all of that additional square footage. And so when I say 200 to 230,000 square feet, a significant component of that will go towards one large anchor store. So we're really looking at somewhere between 100 and 150,000 square feet of mall stores. We could lease all of that just to our existing tenants who all want to get bigger, no problem. That wouldn't be what was best for the shopping center because certainly there is a point of diminishing returns where a store gets bigger and isn't quite able to keep up that same productivity. So in addition to allowing the stores that need to be bigger to get bigger, but there's also a long waiting pool of very high-end tenants who belong in Bal Harbour Shops but who we just can't accommodate today.
Have to ask about the anchor tenant. Under active negotiations with several stores, or have you identified already that anchor tenant for this expansion?
We are under active negotiation with several stores. We've certainly zeroed in on a couple.
Given the international audience that comes to Bal Harbour, is this third anchor store coming into the United States from outside? Could it be an international name?
It could be an international name. That's not our preference.
There's three names that come to mind internationally. I just have to ask. I mean, Harrods, Marks & Spencer, and Cortes & Glace. Are any of those three in the mix?
Those are certainly the top three international brands that would come to my mind also. I don't want to say that we're actively just discussing concepts with any of them, but I don't want to say that we aren't. Because of the affiliation between Neiman Marcus Group, and of course Neiman Marcus itself and Bergdorf Goodman, the Bergdorf Goodman conversation has been an ongoing one, frankly, over a number of years with Neiman Marcus. The extent to which they'd be willing to see that grow outside of Manhattan is always the question. Bloomingdale's is certainly another possibility. Those conversations have been ongoing. And then Barney's, New York. Those would be the most likely domestic candidates. And then once you look at international, I think your list is pretty accurate.
What is your sense of the ability for your tenants to find qualified employees in the local workforce? And what are the experiences that you have as a family-run business finding local talent?
Truthfully, it's not easy. It's a very common complaint that we hear from our tenants, to be honest with you, particularly our restaurant tenants. The labor force in the region is not great. Because we have such a broad demographic and such a broad audience, our stores need to have very, very well-educated, very talented, very specialized salespeople. For example, in a market that's as heavily influenced by Brazilians as this one is, stores really should have a Portuguese-speaking sales associate. So someone who speaks Portuguese in this market is in very high demand. But also we have a very significant Russian population. So somebody who speaks Russian is in very high demand. And even though many of our customers, if not most of them, can also speak English, there's obviously a familiarity and a conversational tone that you're able to develop if you speak in somebody's home tongue.
Where do you see retailing in this local market headed? We've seen the large retail corporations move into Lincoln Road Mall. We've seen other more regional type of shopping destinations become real corporate destinations on corporate retail. You certainly have been feeling and seeing luxury goods, global manufacturing brands coming in here. Where is retailing in South Florida headed?
Any kind of retail, but particularly retail that's more skewed towards luxury, it is dependent upon tourists. It just is. Over the years, there have been would-be imitators to Bell Harbor Shops that wanted to sort of do Bell Harbor Shops somewhere else in other parts of town. In the 80s, it was a combination of Omni in the northern parts of Miami, Mayfair in Coconut Grove, and Coral Gables, the Village of Merrick Park, came later in the late 90s, early 2000s. You can have your own opinion on how well those projects did. Two of the three aren't around anymore, so I guess you really can't have your own opinion on those two. But I would argue that to the extent that they didn't get quite what they intended to achieve, it was because they couldn't get those tourists. Yeah. The extent to which some of the other projects that are either contemplated or are under development in town are able to get tourists, then they will be successful. If they're not able to get tourists, then they won't. It really is as simple as that.